Steve Dale's Other World on WGN, sitting across from me right now at this very moment, 46th Ward Alderman James Kappelman. Hello, Alderman Kappelman. You are making history in a sense.
I love it.
You are making history because you're the first guest I've had in studio for over a year, you know, so for obvious reasons. So welcome to WGN. Is this your first time in the building here at our new location?
This is my first time downtown other than going to city council meeting.
Really?
Yes, my first time.
Okay, so off the topic, I mean, this has been actually not off the topic. There are people that are concerned about coming downtown, concerned about safety, concerned that there aren't enough people downtown, concerned there aren't enough shops that are open downtown. Well, what do you think?
I was shocked. The area is hopping. There are people everywhere, and there's restaurants open. It was nice to see.
Yes, I think it's great to see, you know, and it's very true. I mean, so you took the train down here from where you live, right? How was that experience?
That was pretty nice, too.
Like it always was.
Yes.
Noisy and dirty in Chicago, but fine.
It was less crowded.
A little less crowded?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so there was this meeting at City Hall that several aldermen called for with Police Superintendent David Brown. Were you one of the, I think, 20? Were you one of the 20 that called for that meeting?
I did not call for that meeting. I certainly, wanted to attend.
And you did?
I did. There was already a number of different briefings that the superintendent did in April, and I attended a lot of that, and the commander's really good about briefing me about what's going on in the 19th district and the 20th district. But I certainly wanted to join in.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that that meeting was a good idea, given all of the crime and sometimes serious crime in Chicago that has been going on? I mean, there are aldermen who say it's an epidemic right now. It's an emergency, and that's why we called an emergency meeting.
It's a situation all over this country, so we're really not different from what's happening in New York and Los Angeles and a lot of the other major cities, Houston.
But the numbers of murders and the number of young children being killed does seem to, sadly, extend beyond what... Yes, murders are up, sadly, shockingly, all over the country. But what we've seen in Chicago goes beyond some other cities in some ways.
And there was some discussion among my colleagues and the superintendent, and there was some disagreement on what are the actual rates of murder and criminal sexual assaults and carjackings. And I will say this. I would encourage people to go to the Chicago Police Department's website, and there's a program called ComStat that lists all the different types of crime, and it goes back a four-year history where you can see a trending. Is it going up? Is it going down? And I think some people might be surprised by looking at it.
Carjackings certainly are going up, and the... Not only is that terrible for obvious reasons, but it's young kids that are often, or kids, that are often responsible for the carjackings. That means those kids, they're kids, first of all, some of them not even old enough to drive, and here they are driving, but moreover, they have a gun, typically illegally, and or other weapons that they're using.
Yes.
Never mind doing damage to the car in some cases.
I talked to a police officer this morning who... operates a helicopter. The city of Chicago has two helicopters, and they are used to address carjacking. This police officer told me it's predominantly in the south and west sides of the city, and it's oftentimes youth doing joyriding.
Yeah, but in the meantime, everything I said is true. I mean, you're pointing a gun at someone. It's not only the south side. It's happened in your ward. It's happened right down the street from where I happen to live, and you know where that is.
Yes.
None of that is good. And I don't care if it happens on the south side. It's still part of Chicago.
It's scary. It's scary when it happens. And when it, we had four carjackings in Beat 1914. My husband's the CAPS Beat facilitator, Richard Thale. And we had four carjackings. But interestingly to note, one carjacking was due to someone selling their car. Someone contacted them through social media. So the seller knew the potential buyer's identity, and then he carjacked it. Well, it was easy to catch him. The other three people who had their cars carjacked, they left their cars running.
Okay, so you are absolutely right, and the police warn us of this all the time. You know, if you don't want your phone taken, don't walk down the street texting all the with your phone out. And when you're dining outside in an outdoor cafe, don't leave your phone on the table for someone to easily reach over and walk away with. All of that is true. Yeah. Don't leave your car running. I think that makes perfect sense. Having said that, it still doesn't excuse the fact that people are committing crimes when they take telephones, when they take cars.
It's a very scary prospect, yes. And because it was highlighted so much, you know, I read the press, and you know, it concerns me as well.
All right. So what is the solution to that aside from, yes, your point is well taken. Don't leave the car running. If you have someone coming over to buy the car, know who that someone might be. All of those common sense things, and that's good advice, but a lot of people get their car jacked and they haven't done anything.
True.
Except, you know, maybe go to get gasoline, you know, and that the moment they go to get gas, someone's pointing a gun at them.
I had a good friend who experienced that very same thing coming out of a parking garage.
Okay, so what's the prospect? What do people do about it?
So it has to be, the reasons for it are very complex, and the ways to address it are also very complex. Number one, the helicopter units. We only have two helicopters. I believe we need more, so I'll work with my colleagues to get more. The great thing about helicopters...
I want to stop you there. How do you do that? When we hear over and over and over there's no money, but on the other hand, I know there must be because we're getting federal money now, aren't we?
Yes. And I believe that if we really tap down on carjacking, it will address a lot of people's fears about this city of Chicago being safe. And the one helicopter does the work of eight police cars, and a helicopter in the air can see four police beats. And because police cars are not allowed to do a chase, a helicopter can follow them, so it makes it much easier for them to direct the police to catch them. And it's been extraordinarily successful. But we have to also look at what's going on with a 12-year-old boy with a gun in his hand who is carjacking and doing it just for a joyride. And it's the issue, and I'm taking off my aldermanic hat and putting on my former family therapist hat. There are some dynamics in this family that need serious attention. This is a family screaming for help.
Yes. So what you brought up at the meeting, I want to talk about when we come back. You are a licensed social worker, so you're the perfect person to talk about this. And incidentally, over and over again now, Mayor Lori Lightfoot is calling you the conscience of City Hall. I mean, and that's who you are, you know. So you're not whatever you talk about, you don't talk about for politics. You talk about as wearing your social worker hat because that's a part of you that you want things to be better for people in Chicago.
And yes.
My hope is that all aldermen feel that way and that our mayor feels that way. But here's the thing. Right now in Chicago, if I go through one of those, I'm 5 miles over, I think, you can, red light camera, not the speed cameras, just 5 miles over, I think, you can get fined and I will be caught instantly. I'm in trouble instantly. My insurance may go up. I mean, there are repercussions.
Yes.
If I'm the parent of a 16-year-old or a 12-year-old that points a gun at someone, are there repercussions? I'm not sure that there are. And then these people are back out on the street. Even adults who commit some crimes are back out on the street quicker than I'm talking about this.
I talked about that with Superintendent Brown.
Right. And you're going to talk about it with all of us when we come back on WGN. Steve Dale's Other World on WGN. It's 2:49. We're talking with 46th Ward Alderman James Kappelman. Alderman Kappelman, leading into the commercial break, I said, okay, you can be guilty, clearly guilty of a crime, and it's like two different worlds. That crime could be something like a traffic violation, a parking ticket. Oh, my gosh. They're like $40 million now to pay for parking. And if you're ticketed, $80 million, right? You feel like you're more guilty for something like that. And if someone really commits a crime, not a felony, but a crime, they're back out on the street, especially youth offenders, in like 2 seconds. And then they're committing another crime.
So I have seen that. I mean, that perception that you have, I mean, a lot of people have that perception. And I've known people who've committed felonies, and while the police officer is still processing the paperwork, they're back continuing their drug sales.
Okay, so, that's my point.
So it is rightfully frustrating. But my conversation with Superintendent David Brown is these people that I know who've been continually arrested, I'm not talking just like one or two times. I know some who've been arrested hundreds of times. I know one person who's been arrested over 400 times.
What?
So arresting them is not working. And that's the thing that we need to look at. If that's not working, what will work? And I was pleased to hear Superintendent talk about an approach where there's a police officer tag teaming with a social worker, and they are talking to these individuals who keep getting arrested and saying, you know, let's talk about this. This keeps happening and you're caught into the cycle, and let's explore some other options for you, but do it in a manner where that person feels heard and they get out of this cycle where they just keep getting arrested over and over. That's not working.
Yeah, if it's not working, maybe stop doing it. You know, I mean, that makes common sense. But most police departments don't have those resources to have a social worker or a department of social workers work in conjunction with the police or being even a part of the police.
We've started a pilot project in the city of Chicago, and there are cities across the country that are doing it. Because we're finding, we're now looking at a lot of research and data, and we're finding that there's a small segment of the population that's committing the vast majority of the crime. So let's look at those individuals that are recycling through the system, and what can we do to change that narrative for them?
Do you think we really can get guns off the street? I mean, clearly we have a lot of them. Clearly, many people that have those guns have gotten them illegally, as was pointed out at this meeting that we're talking about, oftentimes by going to Indiana or sometimes other states to do it.
Yes.
But in other ways as well, there are, I don't know, I've read statistics out there. I mean, there may be as many guns illegal out there in Chicago as there are people in Chicago.
We took more guns off the streets in Chicago than the combined number in Los Angeles and New York City.
But they're still out there.
They are still out there, yes.
So what do we do?
So we keep working with our state and federal legislators to change the laws, especially manufacturing guns. You can manufacture guns in parts and then sell them, and it's easier to put that together. So we're certainly working on that. But let's look at the other dynamic of a 12-year-old carrying a gun on them. And what do we need to do to address this family who is caught up in the cycle of violence? Because I would imagine that 12-year-old who is carrying a gun has been exposed to a lot of violence growing up.
Do you think that two groups of people are becoming numb to the violence? The people that live in communities where every day they see it, and also just generally Chicagoans, and maybe I can expand that to people who live anywhere in the country.
I remember once talking to an alderman in the South Side, and I was complaining about an adolescent who was shot in the leg and over the weekend. And I was just like, oh, my. Because he asked me how my weekend went. I said, oh, this guy got shot in the leg. And I was just, oh, it's so frustrating. He said, you had someone shot in the leg. I had 7 people killed in my ward over the weekend. So what? What I'm seeing and what's being seen on the South Side and the West Side is completely different. There are 14 wards in the city of Chicago that have a murder rate 10 times higher than what's found in the 46th Ward. That's not to dismiss violent crime in the 46th Ward, but a lot of that, if we're really going to tackle it, we need to look at what are the root causes of it. I still think on what Alderwoman Taylor said when they talked about crime in her ward, because mm-hmm. she has an incredible amount. She said, you know, a cat can smile at you, but if you back that cat in a corner, it'll come out scratching. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of individuals are feeling. So let's look at all the dynamics in place that cause that to happen. And other cities across the country are doing it. And then we have some work to do.
Many of the aldermen push back on David Brown, the police commissioner, when he talked about what are those ankle things that, you know, you've
electronic bracelets
thank you,
on
thank
the ankles.
You, that there are a record number of people out now with
yes.
those for a variety of reasons, including the jails at one point in time releasing people as COVID began, as the pandemic began. So they're out, then they're arrested, and then they come right back out with that ankle and they're committing another crime. That's what the superintendent of police said, and some aldermen said, actually, that's not true. And what I liked about what the superintendent said was, first of all, it is true. But okay, let's say you're right, and it doesn't happen as frequently as I'm saying. To that family it happens to, that lost a loved one because of someone doing that, that's a problem for that family. That's an understatement.
Yes.
This isn't only a police issue. It's also an issue for the courts.
Yes, and I've seen moms coming up to their son's dead body on the sidewalk, and it's just, you know, they're so distraught. I mean, I'm just sick and tired of seeing it.
Yeah. But do you think that part of the issue has to do with the court system, that they're not prosecuting and they're not to the full extent of the law? These people are not being, and the court system isn't even putting these people through because they're behind.
It's an extraordinarily complex issue. As I've heard before, Malcolm Gladwell has talked about crime, and what we're seeing is there really is a small percentage of people committing the vast majority of these crimes, and so and you can keep arresting them. I know a guy who's been arrested 55 times, and he just keeps going back, and he just keeps going
back. So that gets back to your point. Then what we're doing isn't working, but
it's not.
But they can't keep going back if they're in jail. So that's part of what I'm saying.
Well, the problem is a lot of these are just very minor offenses, and then
they're not all.
Well, then it gets to be pretty serious, and then they're in jail for a long time.
Or they're not. They're still allowed back out, which is what the police command, the superintendent was talking about. I'm running out of time here, so very, very quickly, the other side of the coin is: do you have any comments on police in Chicago being overworked and not appreciated? We have like 25 seconds.
I mean, they are clearly overworked, and this is a very difficult job, and I don't know many people who want to be a police officers these days. And what Superintendent Brown said is true. We need to recognize those individuals that are doing a good job and, you know,
that's
you know give them a shout-out. Yes.
I say that's most.
Yes.
Overwhelmingly so.
Overwhelmingly.
Yeah, thank you, Chicago police officers and emergency responders of all kinds. Thank you, James Kappelman, Alderman 46th Ward, for being here on WGN.